Praise God, everyone. So glad you could be with us. So glad that we can spend some time together and just enjoy each other's company. I know that you're not in person yet, but God willing, we are praying that next week we will be together and be able to share some time in person again, January 2nd. So look forward to that, God willing, and we're just going to be praying that God would just bless us and help us, heal us, comfort us, as he always does. Well, today we're in part 5 of the alphabet of God. It is E for Emmanuel. We're going to be talking about Emmanuel, and some people are saying, well, Christmas is over. Well, it's not. It's never over. Christmas is a day-to-day celebration. So let's bow our heads. Just go to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you that you are the God who is with us at all times. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you are behind us. Thank you that underneath are the everlasting arms. Thank you that you surround us, Lord God, always, and that you are above us. And Father, most of all, that you are inside of us. You never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And Lord, we just commit this time in your hands and ask you, please, to minister your word. Let your word go forth, have free course, be glorified, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Heard that. Big loud amen out there. Thank you. So I want to begin with a story about a couple who had moved into a new community with their two young boys. One was 8 and one was 10. The two boys were kind of like Dennis the Menace's problematic children, very difficult to deal with. And so the mom thought that she would try to find some counsel, and she did. She heard about a local preacher, and he was supposedly very good with the kids. So she called him up, asked if there was a possibility to make an appointment. He said, absolutely. He said, but do me a favor. I don't want you to bring both kids at once. Just bring the 8-year-old first. Leave the 10-year-old home. Bring the 8-year-old. I want to talk to him first. Mother said, okay, no problem. So that's what she did. They got to the office, and pastor came out, very cordial, introduced himself, brought the 8-year-old in, had him sit down. I think he had some milk and cookies there as well, just to give him some comfort. And then he looked at the child, this 8-year-old, and very gently, meekly, but yet with a little affirmation or sternness, said, where is God? The little boy kind of sat there bewildered, trying to figure out how he was going to answer this question. And he was troubled, obviously. And so the preacher, a little more sternful, asked again, where is God? At this point, the little boy started to shudder. He was really starting to sweat. It was visible that he was getting out of control. And the last time, the preacher said a little bit more loudly and sternly, where is God? At that point, the little boy jumped out of his seat, ran into the office there where his parents were, and he said, we've got to go. So they got up, they left, and when the 8-year-old got home, he called his older brother and he said, listen, we're in a heap of trouble. And the 10-year-old said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And he said, God's missing, and they think that we took him. God's missing. Where's God? They think we took him. Well, that question, where is God, has been a question that has been echoing throughout the millennia. People have been asking that question in all sorts of situations and predicaments that they find themselves in, especially when there's trauma, when there's some kind of evil circumstance that happens, then all of a sudden that question is very much pronounced. Where is God when it hurts? Where is God when in difficult times? Where is God when my baby died? Where was God when I was abused? Where was God during the pandemic that took away my children, my loved one, my family member? Where was God when I was raped and mistreated? Where was God when Darryl Brooks used his SUV to plow through a crowd at a Christmas parade, killing 5 and wounding more than 40. Where was God when at least 70 to 100 people were killed in one of the largest tornado outbreaks in the U.S. history? Where was God? Well, some of you might not like this, but he's in the same place that he's been all the time. He's with us. He's always been with us. Trey and Megan Rackley had purchased a new home for them and their three young girls a week before the tornado hit. To prove they were in a safe place, Megan sent her sister a photo of three little girls, of their three little girls, in the bathtub. Precious photo. If you've haven't gotten a chance to see it, please go online and look at it. These three little girls, smiles on their face, in the bathroom and in the bathtub. Unfortunately, the window had not been in that bathroom. 15 minutes after that photo was taken, the tornado hit and splintered their home. Family members were sucked into the tornado. Aniston, the youngest, died. Her body found yards away in a muddy field. Avalyn, Aniston's newborn sister, told physicians and nurses at the Memphis hospital, "I was flying around in the tornado and I prayed to Jesus to take care of me. And he spit me out into the mud." She survived. Where is God? God is there in the midst of our trials, of our troubles, of all that we go through. He's never left us, never forsaken us. He is Emmanuel. And that's really the story of Christmas. It is the story of Yeshua, Jesus coming down to earth, manifesting himself, God manifest in the flesh, God with us. Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they had sexual relations, it was discovered that she was pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, always did what was right, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to break off the engagement quietly. When he contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, because the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' This all took place, the Bible says, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. 'Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will give him the name Emmanuel,'" which means God with us. Very interesting. Joseph was to give baby Jesus the name Jesus. That was going to be the witness or the work of God in creation. And he said, they, other people, and I'm believing this to mean that outsiders, when they visibly see God manifest in the flesh, they are going to call him Emmanuel. That is the witness of God revealed in the name Emmanuel. So we have the work of God revealed in the name of Jesus, and the witness of God manifest on the earth revealed in the name of Emmanuel. That's wonderful. Joseph, you are to call him Emmanuel. And that's exactly what they did. And so this morning, I just want to ask the question, how is it that Emmanuel, the mighty one who is with us, how did he exist, or how does he exist even now among us? First, in our sorrow. You know, this season, many will say, well, Christmas season is over, New Year is coming. It's still a season of great sorrow, of great depression. People are still mourning their loved ones who've been lost, husbands, fathers, dads, grandchildren, you name it, everybody that you can possibly think of, friends have passed away. And this is a very sorrowful time for many people as they enter into this season. But the great news is this is the kind of people that God comes down and dwells with. Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." He says, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Oh, I'm so grateful that in our lowest periods, in our lowest times, the one who inhabits eternity, the one who's dwelling in the heights above, comes down and says, you know what, I see your sorrow, I see your tears, I understand what you're going through, and I'm coming down to be with you. I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here with you. We may not sense it all the time. Think about Lazarus and his two sisters. When they had the passing of their brother, they seemed all alone, but Jesus already had a plan 25, 30 miles away. This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. So God knows what he's doing. Even in our sorrow, he's there with us. He's already contemplated everything, and he's with us. He's with us in our suffering as well. I know that many of you are going through some trying times right now. You're hurting. There's a lot of pain in your hearts. You're going through persecution. You're going through trials. But I want you to remember that in this whole matter, think it not strange that we are going into these fiery trials, because God's just testing our faith. He's just testing us and making sure that we're going to come out like gold when it's all over. And I love when you talk about sufferings and trial. I think about the old patriarch Joseph and all the trials that he went through. Remember, we talked about this last week with the dreams that he had and what kind of trouble it brought upon him. He went through all these trials. The brother Stephen, the first martyr of the church, he was preaching one day, and he said this. He said that the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. God was with him. God was with him when he was thrown into the pit. God was with him when they tore that cloth, that many-colored cloth off of him and ripped it apart. God was with him when he was sold into slavery. God was with him when they sold him into Potiphar's house. God was with him when he was thrown into prison and spent those years in prison. God was with him all the time. And what the devil meant for evil, God turned around for good. And child of God, it's no different today. Whatever you're going through, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. I don't care what you're going through. I do care, but you understand what I'm saying. Whatever you're facing right now, it doesn't matter, because God is working all things together for good to those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. And let me tell you something. You read on and you'll find out that he's doing all of this to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's with us in sufferings and trials, and he's with us in supernatural experiences too. I was reading about a Muslim man who became very disheartened. He went to Mecca thinking that his whole life was going to change if he went there. He went, he experienced it, and afterwards he was still dry inside. Afterward, he would normally go to this place where there are multitudes of buses in Mecca waiting to take people home. But today, that day, it was different. And there was only one bus there. There was nobody around. So he went into the bus, and there was a bus driver there. His name was Isa. The bus driver's name was Isa. Isa is Muslim for Jesus. This man sat down and conversed with Isa. And he said it was hours upon hours where his heart melted and he felt warmth and he felt fulfillment. And suddenly, Isa was gone. And when he got home, he began to study the life of Jesus, and he accepted Christ as his Messiah, and his life was radically changed. God with us, even in visions and in dreams. It's amazing. God is with us, even in creation. All the beautiful birds that you see in the air, all the beautiful sounds that are coming from that, all the beautiful colors that we have in the flowers and creation, all the things that we see around us, they're all gifts from God. That little kitty cat, that little dog, that little bird chirping away in the house, meowing. All these little gifts that God gives us are a manifestation of his presence toward us in creation. Everything that we look around, whatever brings a smile to our face, it's God saying, I'm close to you, I'm near to you. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about anything. Look. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap it. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the flowers. Even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like these. Jesus is saying, take a look around you. Look what God has done. Look how God has provided. Look how close and near God is. And there's not even to be understood the things that are prepared for those that love him. in glory. Hallelujah. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech nor spoken word from the stars there where their voice is not heard, yet their voice in evidence goes out throughout the whole earth, their sayings to the end of the world. And Paul says also in Romans 1, 20 and 21, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that no one is without excuse. All are without excuse. In other words, God has revealed himself all around, and no one's going to be able to be with an excuse saying, we don't know you. God is with us during our private times. The Lord says in his word, the Lord is good and a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And the Lord is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills his desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. In answered prayer, there's the manifestation of the presence of God as well. In Matthew 18, 9, Jesus said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, let me tell you something. I know that some Christians who don't believe they can get sick. Now, that's their testimony. I never get sick. Others say you're out of covenant if you get sick. Yeah, I don't know if that's so true. Especially when you look at Paul, who had this ugly disease latched onto him, and he says the Galatians were ready to rip out their eyes even to give it to him. I don't know if you can claim that when you have Paul instructing Timothy, saying, you know, drink a little wine for your often infirmities, your often physical illnesses. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion when you have a man named Epaphroditus, who Paul says was near unto death, but God had mercy on him and on me as well. Let me tell you some Christians, you're going to get sick. People have gotten sick. And so don't think that you have so much faith that you're going to, go above the Apostle Paul or Timothy or Epaphroditus, these great men of God. But the Bible says if we come together and touch and agree on anything we shall ask, it shall be done. And I'm asking folks out there to remember Pastor Dennis Jurasov. Continue to lift him up. Continue to lift up other pastors. Continue to lift up Claire. Continue to lift up Bob in your prayers. Continue to pray. Let's touch and agree. Let's see the manifestation, the nearness of God come through answered prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's another way that God manifests his presence as we move among the least of these. When you are ministering to those who are hungry, when you are ministering to those who are sick, when you are visiting those who are in hospitals and prisons, when you are clothing the naked, guess what? You are going near to the presence of God, and there's a manifestation of his presence as well. The righteous asked the Lord, when did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You did it unto me. Hallelujah. There's no greater joy than to be able to touch individuals, to bless them. When there's a car on the side of the road, elderly woman struggling, you pull over and you help. To the least of these, you're doing a work unto them. And I say we're doing it unto Jesus. Anytime you see somebody come in to want clothes and want food, I say invite them in, because you're inviting Jesus in. You're inviting and ministering to the presence of Christ. And that's how he's manifesting himself to you. And let me tell you something, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory when you're able to give to the least of these. Hallelujah. God is so good. Even in our fears, God says he's with us. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Even in your valley experiences, in the shadow of death, what did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even when death surrounds us, God is with us. Hallelujah. Praises to the Lord. And even when all humans abandon us, God is with us. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've experienced that so many times. Human beings mean well. They say, Pastor, we're behind you 1,000%, only to leave a year later, 6 months later, only to say bad things, only to ridicule you, only to say all manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake. They abandon us. But the wonderful thing in all of this is that God is always with us. Paul could still confidently declare in some of the very last words that he had, saying, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you through the word of God. Many years ago, I was in a church, lived in the church, and had a separate place where I would go in an upper room to pray. And one day, I went up into that upper room, just absolutely devoid of any kind of strength. And I literally collapsed. And when I collapsed, my Bible fell to the left-hand side, and I didn't recognize it at first. And then I looked over, and the pages were open to, the Lord is your strength and your song. He has become my salvation. I tell you, it electrified me just reading the Word of God. Child of God, I can't tell you how important it is to get into the Word of God, to allow Him to manifest His presence through the Word. The Word of God becomes flesh by the Holy Spirit. It becomes alive through the Holy Spirit, and He feeds you. His presence comes, and you can sense Him. Hallelujah. And the gathering of the saints is another way that God manifests His presence to us. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. I am so sick and tired of Christians saying, listen, we don't need to go to church. Yeah, matter of fact, I wrote one brother who just was a part-time kind of participant. And I told him the scripture, you know, that we shouldn't forsake the gathering of ourselves together as is the custom of some. But we need to be joining together. We need to come together. He said, that's just one passage, Pastor, because I'm going to need more than that. Oh, boy. I've met these people before. They feel that if they meet with another Christian, if it's on a golf course, if it's during dinner, that's having church. Boy, oh boy, they really need to go back and just read the epistles to the church of Galatia, to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Thessalonica. These are gatherings. That's what the church is, a gathering of people. Read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. They met regularly, every single day. That's about 3,000 people at that point. Yeah, yeah. You need to come together. And as we come together, there's a manifestation of God. How so? Well, there's a manifestation of God in the spiritual gifts as well when we all come together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each of us has been given a gift from God. And as we come together and as we join together and we operate in the Spirit, God is manifesting His wisdom, His counsel, His knowledge, His prophetic word, His faith, miracles and signs and wonders. Who wouldn't want that? And then I want to close with this, basically. God is with us when we don't deserve it. You don't, and I won't read the whole thing now, but I want to read a portion of Nehemiah chapter 9. And if you have a moment, please go back and read this chapter. I'm going to start from verse 9. You, God, saw the oppression of our ancestors in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, all his officials, and all the people of the land. You knew how arrogantly they treated our ancestors. You made a name for yourself that endures to this day. You divided the sea before them, and they crossed through it on dry ground. You hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone, yet churning into churning waters. You led them with a pillar of cloud by day and with a pillar of fire by night to illuminate the way they should go. Verse 16, dropping down there. But our ancestors acted arrogantly. They became stiff-necked and did not listen to your commands. They refused to listen and did not remember your wonders you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. Listen to this. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in your faithful love, and you did not abandon them. Think about this. Stiff-necked, did not listen to your commands, and you are a forgiving, compassionate God. You did not abandon them. Can somebody say amen? Even after they had cast an image of a calf for themselves and said, this is your God you brought you out of Egypt. And they committed terrible blasphemies. Verse 19, you did not abandon them in the wilderness because of your great compassion. During the day, the pillar of cloud never turned away from them, guiding them on their journey. And during the night, the pillar of fire illuminated the way they should go. You sent your good spirit and instructed them. They did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You gave them water for their thirst. You provided Amen. For them. And verse 25, they captured fortified cities and fortified lands, took possession of well-supplied houses, rock-hewn cisterns, vineyards, oil groves, fruit trees in abundance. They ate and were filled, became prosperous. They became prosperous and delighted in your great goodness. But they were disobedient, verse 26, and they rebelled against you. They flung your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who warned them to turn back to you. They committed terrible blasphemies. You handed them over to the enemies who oppressed them. In their time of distress, they cried out to you, and you heard from heaven. And in your abundant compassion, you gave them deliverers. You rescued them from the power of the enemies. But as soon as they had relief, and somebody say 9/11, as soon as they got relief, they did again what was evil in your sight. You see the history? So you abandoned them to the power of the enemies who dominated them. When they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven and rescued them many times in your compassion. It goes on and on, and he ends. However, in your abundant compassion, you did not destroy them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. Listen, child of God, even when we mess up, God is with us. It just amazes me that God will stick it through with us, that he won't leave us, that he won't forsake us, that he'll stick there even when we're going through times when we're arrogant. Nehemiah is painting the picture of how good and how gracious God was in all of his investment into the children of Israel. And they rebelled, they hardened their hearts, they turned against him, they went and followed their own ways. And yet when God turned them over to their enemies, when they even cried out, God was compassionate and heard and rescued them. And the process started all over. His goodness was poured out. They went into rebellion. They sinned against God. And Nehemiah is pointing out time after time after time, every time they went into this degenerate state, even then, God, you were with them. Hallelujah. Even then, you were with them. Hallelujah. God is with us even when we mess up. Even when we go against him, even when we backslide, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. He is with us through thick and thin. Hallelujah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Listen, this Emmanuel, who was, is Emmanuel today at present. He is your present Emmanuel. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is with us in our sickness. He is with us in our sorrows. He is with us in supernatural events. He is with us when we're going through the valley of death. He is with us when we're on the mountaintop. He is with us every place that we go. As it said of David, the Lord was with David whithersoever he went. Every place that you step is where God is. He is with us. And as I said before, God goes before us. He is behind us, underneath of the everlasting arms. He surrounds us. He is above us. But greater still is the presence of the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, inside of us. I will walk in them. I will move through them because now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the Lord. He's never going to leave us. That's why Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the days. And the book of Hebrews 13:5 says emphatically, I will never, ever, ever leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. We are secure in the palm of Jesus. Amen? Where is God? Do we really have to ask? He is Emmanuel. He is with us. And it's so amazing to me that when Emmanuel came down to earth, the Bible says that he came to his own and his own rejected him. He was despised and rejected of men. Have you rejected Emmanuel? Are you rejecting the signs that are all around us of his presence and of his nearness? Are you trying to push Emmanuel out of your life? Listen, you can push so far, but once we leave this earth, if you continue in that state, it will be banishment from the presence of the face of him who sees all things. His eyes see all things. Everything is naked before his eyes. And if you continue to resist this Holy One, Emmanuel, he will give you what your desire is wanting, and you will pass from this earth to the next, and then you will be banished forever from the face of him who is holy. I pray that that's not going to be the case. He's watching over you, and with outstretched arms, he's calling day and night for you to come to him. That door of invitation has always been open. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's what God wants to do for you right now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for being with us. Thank you that you're with us in so many ways, incomprehensible even, Father. We can't even touch the surface, really, of what and how you are with us. So thank you for that. And Lord, I implore you by the power of your Holy Spirit to please speak to hearts that are out there that maybe have never embraced you as Emmanuel, have never embraced you, Lord Jesus, in the work of your name, Jesus, the Savior, and Lord God, the witness of your name through Emmanuel. So Holy Father, minister to people right now, touch them, bless them, help them, and especially those, our brothers and sisters who are going through such difficult times right now, let them sense your presence, your spirit, Lord God. Be with Claire, Lord God. Be with Bob. Be with Pastor Dennis. Be with other pastors, Lord God, and their wives. And Lord God, be with other individuals in the church who are suffering right now. We just pray, let your presence come down. Glorify your name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you. And the Lord grant you shalom in Jesus' name. God willing, see you next week in person. Love you all. Bye.